Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, colleague at MRM, and today we would like to discuss the doctrine of the atonement and more specifically how Mormons view the Garden of Gethsemane as being a very important element in that atonement. I'm going to start off, Eric, with a quote by Mormon authors Monte S. Nyman and Charles D. Tate, who wrote a book called, it was a commentary, I assume, on 3 Nephi 9:30, called This Is My Gospel. And this is what they said. They said, "It is probably the case that if 100 Protestants were asked where the atonement of Christ took place, those 100 persons would answer, at Golgotha, on the cross. It is also no doubt true that if 100 Latter-day Saints were asked the same question, a large percentage would respond, in Gethsemane, in the garden." Now, I'm sure, Eric, in talking with Latter-day Saints on the streets and private correspondence and email, you've probably heard Mormons say that.
Absolutely. And for the Christian, I mean, we have a hymn that is very important to us called At the Cross. And I think most Christians are going to answer that the cross is where the atonement took place. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. That kind of theme is what Christianity is really all about.
This is one of those aspects where I think the Mormon Church is trying very hard to be as different as possible as the rest of Christianity. And because there's really no reason why they have to go in this direction, not if you look at the Book of Mormon, and hopefully we can talk about that a little bit later on. But I want to bring out a statement by Mormon Apostle Bruce McConkie, where he said, "Where and under what circumstances was the atoning sacrifice of the Son of God made? Was it on the cross of Calvary or in the Garden of Gethsemane? It is to the cross of Christ that most Christians look when centering their attention upon the infinite and eternal atonement. And certainly the sacrifice of our Lord was completed when he was lifted up by men. Also, that part of his life and suffering is more dramatic and perhaps more soul-stirring. But in reality, the pain and suffering, the triumph and grandeur of the atonement took place primarily in Gethsemane." This is found in his Doctrinal New Testament Commentary, Volume 1, page 774.
And Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th prophet, said in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 1, page 130, "Greatest suffering was in Gethsemane. We speak of the passion of Jesus Christ. A great many people have an idea that when he was on the cross and nails were driven into his hands and feet, that was his great suffering. His great suffering was before he ever was placed on the cross. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that the blood oozed from the pores of his body, which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain and to bleed at every pore and to suffer both body and spirit, and would have that I not drink the bitter cup and shrink. That was when he was on the cross. That was in the garden." Excuse me, "That was not when he was on the cross. That was in the garden. That is where he bled from every pore in his body."
And much of what is said in that statement by Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th LDS president, goes right along with what BYU professor Robert J. Matthews said on page 282 of his book, A Bible, A Bible. On that page, he said, "It was in Gethsemane, on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, that Jesus made his perfect atonement by the shedding of his blood, more so than on the cross." Now, for us as Christians, this is completely foreign. I can't recall anywhere. Now, I should probably clarify that. Certainly, we look at the Garden of Gethsemane as being a part of his passion, when Jesus did, you know, go and pray in the garden prior to his crucifixion. But I know of no Christian leaders, I know of no Christian theologians that will point specifically to the garden and say, this is where the atonement took place. I know of none that say that. I certainly don't find that in the writings of the apostles and the epistles of the New Testament. I don't see that anywhere. In fact, for one, the Garden of Gethsemane is what mentioned twice in the entire Bible. I mean, it's the only time it's ever mentioned. It's mainly mentioned as the location where Jesus prayed prior to his crucifixion. McConkie, in an article called Once or Twice in a Thousand Years, said, "The most transcendent of all events occurred in a garden called Gethsemane, outside Jerusalem's walls, when the chief citizen of planet Earth sweat great drops of blood from every pore, as he in agony took up himself the sins of all men on condition of repentance." Now, again, where are they getting this? Mormons will turn to the Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verse 18. That tends to be really, I think, their only proof text to support this. I don't know of really any other verse, certainly not in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon doesn't even mention Gethsemane. So if the Nephite people were actually real people, they wouldn't have had any understanding of a garden atonement whatsoever. And I think we need to bring that out, because in 1 Nephi 11:33, it actually says that Christ was lifted up upon the cross and slain for the sins of the world. So obviously they're pointing to the cross in the Book of Mormon. Then 3 Nephi 27:14 states that because Christ was lifted up upon the cross, he is able to draw all men unto himself. Again, if the Book of Mormon is indeed the fullness of the gospel, as Mormons are led to believe, and if McConkie is correct in saying that Gethsemane truly is the most transcendent of all events, then we have to ask, why is the cross given preeminence, you know, and in the Book of Mormon, and Gethsemane is completely ignored, if it's really all that important?
Well, when you look at the artwork too, Bill, like when these articles are in the Ensign magazine, we sometimes will see a cross once in a while, but most of the time, I'm going to say 90% plus, it's going to be a picture of Jesus kneeling in the garden, looking up into heaven. It's a famous painting. I'm not sure who it's by. When you go also to the temple open houses, they will always have that painting there to show, you know, the agony that Jesus has. And it's only found once as far as a mention, as far as him bleeding, from Luke chapter 20. 22, Bill.
Mm-hmm. And even that, though that is certainly bleeding from your pores, is certainly a physical possibility. There's no doubt about that. They even have a fancy name for it. But the point is, it does say, as it were, he bled as it were great drops of blood. So there's, you know, some controversy on that, whether it was really blood or was it just sweat that was, you know, that gave that appearance underneath the what we might assume would be the darkness in the garden at night and such. But you can go either way on that. But the point is that the Mormons look at this, and then they will go to DNC 19:18, where it says, "Which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink." That was mentioned in one of the earlier quotes that you gave before. This is where they get it, is Doctrine and Covenants 19:18. So they are assuming that this phenomenon of bleeding from literally blood from your pores under extreme pressure and agony was an actual reality. Obviously, they're committing to that position. And again, I can't argue against that. That could very well be the case. There's no doubt about it. But I have noticed something also when you mentioned the artwork. The Garden of Gethsemane is often mentioned alone when it comes to the atonement. But I find another pattern, though, that when the cross is mentioned, and it's rarely, it's not without being in conjunction with Gethsemane. You know, you don't have the cross separated, but you do have Gethsemane separated. And I've noticed that kind of pattern in Mormon writing. So anyway, this is a big issue with Latter-day Saints. And the question then becomes, well, how many sins did he atone for on the cross? In the garden. Because I've noticed that too. I've had some Mormon writers that I've read say that he atoned for all the sins of mankind in the garden. And if that's the case, then what was the purpose of the cross?
Well, yeah, and you mentioned 1 Nephi 11:33. That's not what the Book of Mormon says. It doesn't mention the garden there, and it says, "I, Nephi, saw that he was lifted upon the cross and slain for the sins of the world." So, I mean, very clearly in the standard works, it's in the Book of Mormon, the most important book that they would use, you would think that the garden would have been mentioned there.
Absolutely. And it is true that many times when I am talking with Mormons, it goes along with our opening quotation by Nyman and Tate, that when you do ask Mormons, where did the atonement take place, many Mormons will immediately say the Garden of Gethsemane. But again, I think it needs to be strongly emphasized that Christians have never held that position. I know of nobody that says that. And certainly, if that's the case, then we need to get that point across to our Latter-day Saint friends and challenge them and hopefully get them to support this view. Because when it comes to the atonement, it's very important. That's not a minor issue. And so we need to talk to them about that.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this question. Why do you think the garden has been so emphasized? I mean, it's not talked about really by Paul. Or I mean, when he talks about atonement, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Certainly the cross is not something that a lot of people like, but what would you think, why is that not emphasized as much as the garden?
Well, you know, I think I go back to that statement I made earlier. I think this is one area where the Mormon Church wants to really show its uniqueness. And unfortunately, when they do that, they tend to get away from the New Testament. They're trying to find, you know, to prove themselves to be, you know, a restoration of things. But yet, if it's a restoration, then why don't we find any such mention like this in any early writings? There's nothing to support this at all. So if it's really, in fact, a restoration of what Christians believed a long time ago, why is history silent on this issue?
And when we think about the atonement, when we talk about sacrifice, it wasn't the bleeding of the animal that was significantly symbolic of the atonement, but it was the actual death of the animal.
The actual death, and I think we need to talk about that too. And I think tomorrow what we'll do is we will talk exactly about that. What does the New Testament say about this? Is it possible that it could have been merely a salvation by perspiration instead of a salvation by expiration? That's very important, because there is a pattern that we find in the Bible when it comes to the atonement, and certainly a garden atonement would not follow that same pattern. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue this discussion, and we're going to be looking at what the Bible actually says about these things and compare Mormon teaching with what the Bible has to say. So we hope that you'll be with us tomorrow as we continue this discussion.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.